Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters, titled Raw Like Sushi. She's small, elegant, almost frail, and yet just as Mandela is the lion of Africa, so Aung San Suu Kyi is the Asian tiger. Neither of these leaders snarl nor growl, indeed both speak quietly, but their voices roar because of their moral authority. And when they speak, they're heard around the world. Despite opposing one of the most brutal dictatorships in the world, Suu Kyi has always preached and practiced non-violence. Her National League for Democracy, the NDL, has never supported the various armed factions from Burma's minority groups who've taken to the jungles of the country to fight the army. In the unlikely event of the junta collapsing or being overthrown, she would probably take the Mandela road of national reconciliation. Whilst this and the recent decision to boycott the elections has led to debate within her party about her continuing effectiveness, she remains the leader around whom the opposition movement coalesces and the only Burmese person who has global recognition. Forgive a little digression here. My cat is called Suu Kyi in honour of the Burmese tiger, but she normally gets called Sushi, hence the joke, raw like sushi. My previous cat in the mid-1990s was called Irma, named in honour of a beautiful little girl who was rescued from Sarajevo during the Bosnian War, which at the time I was covering. The point being that when the chattering class types can use a single name in recognition of a moral hero, you know that person is a name on the world stage. Think Suu Kyi, Mandela, Havel, Ahmadinejad. Now scrap the last one. Known to her supporters as the Lady, Aung San Suu Kyi is the daughter of the father of modern Burma, General Aung San. He was assassinated when she was 2 years old in 1947, just a few months before independence from Britain. She went on to study at Oxford, where she met her husband, Michael Arris, a scholar of Tibetan Buddhism. In 1988, she returned to Burma to care for her mother. In one of those twists of fate by which history is written, that was the same year as the mass protests against the military rule broke out, resulting in thousands of pro-democracy supporters being gunned down on the streets of the then capital, Rangoon. In the aftermath, she emerged as the leader of what became the NDL and went on to win a landslide victory in elections in 1990. She had already been in custody for a year. The army responded to the people's will by placing her under house arrest. She has spent 14 of the last 20 years as a prisoner, either in jail or in her crumbling two-story villa on the shores of Lake Inya in Rangoon. During those years, she won the Nobel Peace Prize, escaped an assassination attempt, and suffered the loss of her husband to cancer. The junta wouldn't allow him to visit her, and she took the agonizing decision of not going to visit him in the UK before he died, in case she was not allowed to return to her country. In 1997, during the Saffron Uprising, thousands of Buddhist monks made it to her front gates. She burst into tears upon seeing them. Not only does she have only her two housekeepers with which to converse, but she also saw in an instant the meaning of their presence. The monks are in something called the Sangha, and the Sangha is the only fully and openly organized presence in the country other than the army. They may be passive, usually, but what they do and say matters. And when thousands show up outside your house, it says, "We're with you." No matter what the next few days throws up, her lifelong struggle will continue. Her party has been disbanded by the authorities, and the opposition movement appears cowed after the latest round of suppression by the generals. But no one else has yet emerged who could lead the opposition. She may be physically small, but she's a giant, and her stature is built on her moral superiority to those who have made her define her life by sacrifice. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.